Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This week, the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, and you get to hear the general manager, Joe Shane, for the Giants speak. You get to, it's kind of like that behind-the-scenes winter meeting with a lot of conversations, almost the beginning of free agent talks, trade talks, all kinds of things going on, and of course, the Underwear Olympics, scouting the players, all that sort of thing. To talk about the Giants, their needs, their offseason strategy, we bring in Dan Duggan from The Athletic, who covers the Giants. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm finally recovering from like four nights, late nights at Indianapolis bars, trying to get the information we're about to talk about. See, I just turned 40, so not as able to stay up late and rebound like I used to. So we'll see if I can put two words together here to make some coherent sentences for you.
I've been in that area. The one nice thing about Indianapolis versus and that downtown area versus other cities that they could possibly put the combine is that at least it is pretty compact as opposed to making you travel to this bar, you know, whatever. So there's it's a small area. So actually that does lead me to a question is if you feel like you have a source or someone who's willing to talk to you with everybody, you know, every reporter is there. Everybody from the league is there. It's teeming with people in such a small space. How hard is it to find a place to actually, let's say, get a story or behind the scenes scoop on something without everybody else kind of trying to infringe on that?
Well, that's an interesting way you went about that because I was about to be on like the Indianapolis Board of Tourism because I think they should have the combine there forever. It's like whenever people talk about moving it, like for every reason you just said, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Something in LA, and I might have the best source in the world. But he's like, oh, I'm, you know, 45-minute drive away with traffic. Indianapolis, you can walk, you know, everything's like
yep.
a square mile, basically.
Yeah.
So it's super easy to get around. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's certain times where if you have a really good source, you might like schedule a meeting, like, hey, let's, you know, go kind of maybe off the beaten path or something.
Subterfuge,
like that.
Yes.
But so much of it is really just kind of you run into people. And again, that's mm-hmm. the beauty of Indianapolis. Like, I don't think people probably listening can understand exactly what the scene is like. Because trust me, before I went for the first time, I didn't know what to expect. But literally, you just go out, you know, in the daytime, you can sit in any hotel lobby and, you know, Andy Reid will walk by you and Joe Shane will walk by you and a million scouts and agents, all these people that you kind of, you see a lot or you know who they are, but you don't really know. It's a great chance to, you know, kind of put faces with names. It's like agents, something like that. And then at night, there's only so many, you know, bars and only so many that stay open really late. So you kind of know if anyone's going to be out, they're going to be at like one of these handful of places. So again, you know, some years you might run into Giants people a ton. Other years you might not run into Giants people, but you run into other people that can help you kind of fill in some blanks and what the Giants are thinking. So yeah, to me, it's a super productive week for that type of thing. I mean, obviously some of it is planned, but a lot of it is, you know, obviously hopefully introductions and then those people become sources as you go forward.
Yeah, and the compactness of it, it just seems like it's such a great decision to keep it there. And of course, the other thing that people talk about is the access to all of the medical facilities also in a compact area, which is super important because that's a big part of it as well, getting all the medical information. So let's start with, so that we painted a picture, big picture of Indy and the combine and the scene there. So let's start with one of the important things that happens is that the general managers actually do address the media. And most of the time, there's a lot of sort of, you know, we hear coach speak or GM speak or whatever. But what were your takeaways from Joe Shane at this combine, both in terms of what he actually said and then maybe whether it was behind the scenes or even just body language or a sense of things in terms of the, you know, the hot seat, the pressure, the strategy, any of that, and how it's going to impact decision making for the Giants and Joe Shane?
Yeah, no, I think Joe Shane did a good job of the GM speak you were referencing, where he's kind of, really since the end of the season, he's spoken in ways where you can't necessarily pin him down on anything because he's, you know, big on saying, you know, we're going to explore all options, different positions, you know, trade up, trade back. Like, he's kind of left the door open to everything, and I think that continues. So it's almost like you can almost probably hear what you want to hear by the way he answers questions. Oh, yeah, he's been doing this for a while. He's getting too good at that. He doesn't really tip his hand very much. That goes back to, like, I don't want to keep referencing the same point about, you know, being out and about. But that is where you have to talk to other people because, you know, Joe Shane is not going to broadcast his plans to the media. But when he's talking to other teams or he's talking to agents, you know, he can't completely keep his cards close to the chest. You know, if you're going to try and make moves, you have to at least, let your priorities kind of come to the surface. So that's the big part where you're trying to kind of piece that stuff together. Sometimes it is from people in the Giants, but again, also, even if they're trying to keep a lid on things internally, they have to talk to other people to kind of make moves happen. So that's the way you try and fill things in. So if I was going to say, like, the biggest thing I would say I probably learned, and again, not really from what Joe Shane said, but kind of from talking to other people, is I think there's genuine impetus to, you know, get a quarterback. Now, does that mean trading up? Does that mean taking one at six? Does that mean taking one a little late in the draft? I can't say that right now because, listen, they don't know. There's too many variables.
Right.
Picking six. There could be – you're hearing stuff now that could be quarterbacks who go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
You know, and that's wild to consider. But so, again, you're at six. You're kind of at the mercy of sort of what other teams do. But the point I was kind of getting to there was because with Daniel Jones, obviously the performance on the field wasn't good last season. But I think you can explain a lot of that away because, oh, the offensive line, Saquon missed some time, they played a murderer's row. That's fine. It's the injury stuff that you can't escape. You know, he came in here. When Joe Shane and them came in here, he had the one neck injury, had a couple other minor injuries. Now you add on another neck injury. Now you got the ACL. Like, that list is getting pretty long. And then you couple that with the performance. It's like, are we sure this is the guy we want to build with going forward? Now, again, he's going to be here next year. He's under contract. But do they start planning for the future and maybe be aggressive in doing that? There's a lot of talk about that, I would say, sort of in league circles, to put it broadly.
If it were you, there's two strategic paths here. One is, say, you try and leverage as much draft capital as you can and build as good a team around Daniel Jones. Give him one more year and try and see if you can rekindle magic. But even if you think you're going to move on potentially, to your point, you're drafting at six. Maybe you only love the top three guys, whatever it is. So you try and build and try and get to the playoffs with Daniel Jones this coming season. The other strategy would be that if you don't get there with Daniel Jones, you've now wasted another year, set yourself back another year. And if you're ownership, then, you know, are you ready for a change and do Shane and Dable go? And now you're starting again with potentially a new regime and they get to pick a quarterback and moving in a different direction. Which, you know, if it were you, kind of which direction would you be going if you were trying to keep your job?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm trying to keep my job. I think the quarterback, if you draft a quarterback, let's say, at six or earlier, whether that's with a trade-up, I think that buys you a little more time in the sense that, like, you could even have Daniel Jones start next season. If he plays great, well, that's certainly not a problem for anybody. And if he plays terribly or just, you know, mediocre, then you move on to the rookie, and you're going to probably, as long as things aren't a disaster, you're probably going to say, all right, we just drafted this kid. Let's give Dable another year with him. He'd come into obviously year two as the, you know, undisputed starter because you move on for Daniel Jones. Like, to me, just if you're just looking strictly from a pragmatic, how can I save my hide? That approach to me is far better in that regard. But even just in terms of, you know, kind of where the team is at, because I've heard people say that point you touched on of like build the rest of the team up around and then go get a quarterback. It's like, I mean, we've seen that's easier said than done.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think they've been trying to do that
yep.
now for this is going on year six with Daniel Jones. They've tried to build a team up around him. You know, obviously, the 1 year where they made the playoff run, but otherwise, it's proven that's not the easiest thing to do. I mean, you look at this roster, there's still a long way to go. There's plenty of holes. Now, again, the flip side, you're talking trade up, you say, well, if you trade away, say, a couple second-round picks or mm-hmm. whatever.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's going to make it even harder, but I just think, you know, quarterback is the position. It's like if you get that right, it becomes a lot easier to fill in the holes. I think if you try and do the kind of reverse engineer the puzzle, it's a lot harder if you just have a game-changing quarterback. And listen, that also easier said than done to get one of those guys.
Yep.
But that would be my approach. And again, like that's where it's tough. They're picking six. It's not totally in their control. But I would certainly be working the phone to see what it would take to get up to, you know, I don't think one is going to happen. I don't even think two is going to happen. But I'd at least be, you know, finding out what that Patriots price would be at three, assuming you love, you know, at least three of these quarterbacks. Cause I just don't know if, like, the running back with Daniel Jones and try and build a team around him, if they flop again, like you said, now ownership might say, well, listen, you gave Daniel Jones the contract. You weren't able to, you know, move on. Like, what makes us want to let you draft the next quarterback? We might just clean house if it's, you know, if it's a disaster season.
Talking to Dan Duggan from The Athletic about the Giants. And yeah, I agree. When it's the quarterback position, to me, I think you have to keep taking swings until you get it right. But you have to have conviction about someone. Mm-hmm. That's the challenge if you're drafting.
Right.
So, agree with you, but the Patriots have to be willing to trade in that number three spot in order to get up there. So now let's say the Giants try, the Patriots decide, you know what, we're going to stay where we are, and we're going to draft a quarterback. So the top three are gone. So now we're talking about J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix Jr., maybe Bo Nix. I find him less interesting than the other two. But any rumors you're hearing about how the Giants, or talking to other people, or a sense of things, how the Giants might feel about that next tier of quarterbacks?
Well, it's funny, because I think I kind of went into like the early start of this pre-draft process thinking, like, you know, maybe there's a chance, those, like you said, those three guys, you know, May, Williams, Daniels, are 1, 2, 3. Giants sitting at 6. At the time, you know, a month ago, that felt way too rich for any of those guys. So you could say, hey, maybe you take the best wide receiver at 6. And then, you know, maybe wait until the second round be too late, but you could maybe use those 2 second-round picks to move up to, say, mm-hmm. 20, 25, whatever. It feels like J.J. McCarthy is not going to be there at that
right.
point. I mean, again, this is all, you know, it's media stuff, but these are a lot of draft analysts like Daniel Jeremiah, guys who are very plugged in saying this. It's not just someone sitting there making mock drafts up. Again, I think it was Diana Ruffini, my colleague, said there could be quarterbacks on 1, 2, 3, 4, she heard from a GM. So, again, like, I know it's early in the process. You know, no one's making these comments with their hand on a Bible. But it does tell you that his stock has really risen. So, I mean, I think it's really, if the Giants want him, it'd probably be just you have to take him at 6, if not trade up even for J.J. McCarthy. So you're really getting kind of deep into this class, which I know it's known as a good class. But, yeah, it gets interesting because, yeah, then I think Penix and Nix are in that next tier, and that maybe could still fit into that one of those second-round picks, or like that trading back into the first round, probably even more likely have to be the outcome. If four go in the top four, someone else is going to want to take one in the middle of the first round, you have to figure. So it's a tough spot. You would think in the sixth pick, you're kind of in striking distance, but the way the board broke with the top three teams all needing quarterbacks, they could be looking at picking QB4 and even have to trade up from six just to ensure they get that guy. So that's not a spot I thought they'd be in kind of when this process started a month ago.
Yeah, the other option would be to take a few players you like and then hold for somebody like a Spencer Rattler, potentially with a third round pick or something like that. I think when it comes to the draft, I think the quarterbacks and their stock are just going to keep flying up as there's just more desperate teams. And if you thought you were taking Rattler in the fourth or fifth round, I think you probably take him in the third. And if you thought you were taking Penix in the early in the second, I agree with you. He threw very well at the combine, and his medicals were solid, apparently. So, and he has 10.5-inch hands, which would tie him with Jordan Love for the largest hands of any starting quarterback in the NFL, for what it's worth. So it'll be interesting to see. Did you hear from other teams and people about any of the issues that we had heard with Brian Daboll and Wink Martindale and the coaching staff and the turnover and, Daboll's temper, any of that stuff? Was any of that a behind-the-scenes story at the Combine?
Yeah, no, certainly. I mean, and even some of this is when you're just talking to other reporters, like, hey, what happened there this year? Because they're interested in sort of the reporting fallout. But no, yeah, definitely when you talk to people around the league, that was sort of like, what really went on? A lot of people just kind of, they read the reports and stuff, but it definitely piqued their interest. And then just sort of people who in and around the Giants, kind of knowing how they have kind of had a quick trigger finger. They're like, oh, they must be on notice this year. There's a lot of that feeling that, they probably won't tolerate another season like that. Cause wherever you come out on the Wink, Daboll stuff, whatever. I mean, the bottom line is half of the coaching staff, got overhauled going into year three. That kind of puts everybody on notice. And again, it's such a pivotal year because where they are with the uncertainty at quarterback. Kind of one really good year, one really bad year. So I think year three, you kind of find out which one was the aberration. And I think if people feel like if it goes bad again, definitely Dave will be on notice. And with Shane, it's hard to imagine Dave Gettleman could get 4 years and Joe would only get three. At the same time, he's in a unique boat here where him and Brian Daboll are, one of their appealing characteristics where they were so much tied to the hip. So I don't know if he would be looked as a package deal on the way out, just as they were on the way in. But again, that's getting a little far down the road, but definitely, people in the league, I think, have their antenna up. They're very curious to see how things do play out for the Giants with those guys.
One of my followers on Twitter, on X, wanted me to ask you, which players do you think the Giants will prioritize in free agency? Are there any rumors there or some players you have your eyes on for the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the obvious one is the offensive line, and maybe more specifically guard, because obviously you have Andrew Thomas at left tackle. You're not going to be in the market for any top left tackles. I think that the tackle market's kind of weak anyways. And then with right tackle, I don't think they're going to make a big swing there, because I think they still want to give Evan Neal another shot there, which, that's a little iffy. I think they at least have to, make swing tackle more of a priority if you're going to do that. But again, you're not going to spend top dollar there. I think that's a position they certainly should address. But if they're going to spend, presumably a bit guard, the guy who has jumped out is Mike Onwenu from the Patriots. Problem there is, the Patriots have a ton of cap space and, they're not going to just let him walk. So it might be hard for him to get to the market, but if he does, he'd just be absolutely perfect fit. Like, his guy can play both guard spots, can actually play right tackle, played the second half, at right tackle last year and played well. Has familiarity with the offensive line coach, Carmen Brasillo. They were in New England together. So that would be like the ideal free agent of the entire class. I mean, there's better players and bigger names, but in terms of just fitting what the Giants need, I think that guy would knock it out of the park. He's still in his like mid-20s, durable, like everything you want when you're going to spend big money on a guy. But in the absence of him, there's still other guards in this class. I think it's a pretty good guard class. And, some top guys like Dotson with the Rams, they're probably going to push the top of the market. And then there's Hunt from Miami. There's Jonah Jackson from the Lions. Like, there's some quality players there that, you have to spend some money, but, guard isn't the most expensive position on the market. So I'd just be shocked if they don't come out of this. Like last year, we knew they were going to spend on inside linebacker. The question would just be who. It ended up being obviously Bobby Okereke. I feel the same way about guard. They're going to spend on a guard. It's just a matter of, you know, who fits, who gets to the market, what's the best value. But I would be shocked if they don't come out of this with, you know, one of their biggest expenditures being guard. Other than that, I think defensively, you know, edge rusher stands out as a need. Mm-hmm. Cornerback, defensive line also in that mix. But I think with edge rusher, you know, you asked way back about Shane, something he said. He definitely made a few references to the fact that in Shane Bowen's defense, obviously less blitzing than Wink. And if you're doing that, you need more pressure off the edge. So, you know, with Wink's scheme, it was kind of like, we're going to blitz everybody. We're going to spread the sacks around. Shane Bowen's a little more traditional four-man rush. You need to have, you know, some real guys on the edge there. You obviously hope you have one in Kayvon Thibodeau. As these Ojulari's kind of just don't really know what you're getting out of him. I don't think they can feel solid based on the injuries and just the lack of production last year. So that would be another position. I would think they can make a splash, but that's you're waiting in the deep end of free agency there. You know, because there's some names out there. You know, we'll see who gets tagged, who doesn't, out of Brian Burns, Josh Allen. You've seen Danielle Hunter's name thrown out there. He's 30 years old. He's coming off like 16 and a half sacks. That's not going to be cheap. I don't know if that's the way I would go if I was them. You know, you got Huff from the Jets. There's a lot of guys that I would be, again, I'd be surprised they, you know, neglect the edge rusher, the outside linebacker position. I don't know if they're going to go top of the market, because, again, you're talking, you know, $20 million plus for some of those guys I just named. That seems a little bit rich.
Last one, then, before I let you go. Saquon Barkley, and you know, Tuesday will be transition tag, or they can decide on franchise tag, all that sort of stuff. And the two obvious candidates are either Xavier McKinney or Saquon Barkley. In terms of Saquon, why not do a transition tag and let him explore the market so he gets a chance to see his value? And then you match it if you choose to. But with what's going on with free agency and with other all the available free agent running backs and the value of the position, why not do that?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the transition tag is not really used a lot. And the appeal of it is it costs less than the franchise tag, obviously, right? But it wouldn't really help anyway with him, because he's already got tagged once. So if he gets tagged again, whether it's another franchise or transition, he's still getting the same $12.1 million salary. So I understand your point of letting him test the market. But if you're going to do that, I think you just if you're going to put the tag on him, it's going to be $12.1 million. I don't know if you really want, because you're not going to pay him less than $12.1 million. Once he gets that tag and he goes and sees it's out there, if it's less than that, he'll just sign the tag. So I don't think I get the thought of it. I think, honestly, if they're going to let him test the market, it should just be like a gentleman's agreement. Like, listen, we're too far apart here. We'll let you see what's out there. You know, this is our best offer. You know, we'll just make up a number. Let's say, hey, we'll offer you $8 million a year. Mm-hmm. If you can get 10, bring it back to us. Maybe we consider. If you can get 14, you know, God bless.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way that would go. Like, I the transition tag, I think, sounds better in theory than practice.
Yeah.
I will say one of the nuggets I heard out there that I really thought the franchise tag was kind of lip service from Joe Shane, but I heard from a source that they were like, don't rule that out. Like, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they said, don't rule it out. You know, the tag being higher than they expected. Joe Shane made a mention of that with us, and he made the rounds. He kept bringing that point up. If you really look at it, they're working under like a $243 million projection. It was 250, ended up being 255. That might be the $12 million they kind of found in the couch cushions and say, hey, you know what? Like, I know Saquon, we don't want to make a long-term commitment, but he's our best playmaker, and we can actually make it fit now if you just kind of factor in where we were calculating where they actually are. So that's something I'm going to definitely keep an eye on. I really thought the tag wouldn't be in play, but hearing that and then the cap being what it is, and Joe Shane even made mention that a second tag, which is usually kind of cost prohibitive, is really not that much more than a first tag for a running back based on the cap increase. So definitely keep an eye on that. And with McKinney, yeah, definitely don't think they don't franchise tag. So that's like $17 million for a safety. That's you know, you're going to pay him that much. You could probably find common ground on a long-term deal. The transition tag has been floated for him. That's like, I think, in the upper 13s. Again, makes sense. Really kind of a hard line move. I kind of have a little optimism that they can get something done with McKinney. Like, saying that $12 to $14 million a year range, you know, I kind of thought maybe he'd be higher, but that's sort of the number I heard. So we'll see if he exceeds that. Maybe that does price him out. But I think that there's a sweet spot there where they want him back. He'd prefer to stay. So if there's a deal out there in like that $14 million year range, I think they can actually make that work and be able to retain him.
Dan Duggan from The Athletic, covering the Giants. Appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, great, Laurie. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.